Welcome to a special edition of the Boiling Frogs Post Round Table. From San Francisco, I'm Peter B. Collins. You're about to hear exciting news about NewsBud. For 2016, an independent, publicly funded news operation based here in the United States. And before we get started, I want to let you know that this was envisioned as a video podcast, and I got some zippy new software so that I could download a Skype conversation, the conversation you're about to hear, but the software needs some tweaking, so I'm glad I ran an audio backup, and that's what we're sharing with you today. This is the first in a series of podcasts that we'll be bringing you over the next few weeks, because we want to alert you to a project that we've been working on for months now, to develop a new independent and publicly funded news outlet called NewsBud. Joining me today are the publisher and founder of BoilingFrogsPost.com, Sabelle Edmonds, who's in Bend, Oregon. Hello, Sabelle.
Hi, everyone.
And also from Paris today, Pepe Escobar, the globe-trotting journalist, joins us once again. Hello, Pepe.
Hi, everybody. Pleasure to be with all of you.
Ça va?
Oui, ça va.
So, Sabelle, this started a few months back in one of our roundtable conversations when we were deploring the state of the media in America today, and you've decided to do something about it. And you have a very ambitious plan. You've been working on developing the business plan, on recruiting key contributors and supporting staff for a major news initiative called NewsBud. The goal is to launch this September. But between now and then, we are reaching out to our communities at Boiling Frogs Post, at peterbcollins.com, at James Corbett's Corbett Report, and all of the other parts of the network that exists today to alert individuals who are looking for honest reporting and independent sources of information to get the word out, because we are going to crowdfund this. We're not selling shares to rich people. We're not putting out grant proposals to foundations. We are not contacting advertisers and saying, would you sell some soap on NewsBud? No, we are reaching out to the people who have supported us and who have found our work to be valuable in the past and saying, we want you to be part of this future. So, Sabelle, take a couple of minutes to describe the concept of NewsBud, and then also tell us about, in addition to Pepe and me and James and people who Boiling Frogs supporters already know about, the very talented people that you have already signed up for this exciting new adventure.
Absolutely. You were right. It was a catalyst, that roundtable we did together with James Corbett. I've been thinking about it for a long time, actually, but I didn't have a specific kind of objective or timeline or even the methodology to approach a media organization, a media company that is one of a kind. But I have been researching for a long time to find a model out there, especially with internet and online news, which gave everyone in the world, not only in the United States, but everywhere, this hope that now we can actually have alternative mediums. I mean, that applies to media, that applies even to issues like elections, you know, fundraising. Because with the control by 1%, actually I would put them at 0.001% of the media, of the elections campaign financing. What we are seeing, what we have been seeing, what we have been living through has been the people, majority, all of us, we have been rendered irrelevant. You know, we are not relevant. I mean, just take a look at it. It all boils down to the interests, the agendas, the plans of that 0.001%. And unfortunately, I was hoping, but it didn't happen. What we ended up having outside the traditional print and network mainstream media, we started getting these so-called supposed alternative media that happened who happened to be funded exactly by the same 0.01%, whether major mega corporations with the strings attached to their advertisement fees giving, thus getting the say, the control of what kind of news, what kind of information they want to see published, what kind of platform they want to set up with these alternative medias to, again, put forth their agenda. Same, exactly the same thing as we have been seeing with the mainstream media. We also have had these 501c3 nonprofit so-called alternative media set up, but then look at their funders. Their funders are the same exact megacorporation billionaires. You're looking at dynasty families, Peter and Pepe, as we have been seeing. It's the Rockefeller's Foundation. It's the Koch brothers. It's the George Soros Foundation. It's the Carnegies. It's the Hewlett-Packards. Well, why are they billionaires? Because they are the mega corporations. They are the 0.001%. This is the alternative methods for them, again, to fund agenda vehicle, to deliver a vehicle to deliver their agendas. I mean, nobody or very few people stop and ask themselves, why in the world the guy who likes to go and wrecks countries, has zero humanitarian streaks or ethical streaks in him, I'm talking about George Soros, why is he giving $2 million each, dozens of these pseudo foundation, organizations, NGO, alternative media? What is in it for him? Is it out of his good heart? Because think about it. I mean, that money can actually feed a lot of people who are dying. They are starving, right? For them, it's really important to have the control, to have these vehicles, and these are both the pseudo alternatives and the mainstream media, to deliver agendas. And in both models, mainstream media and these pseudo alternative medias, people are again have been rendered irrelevant. So I wanted to have a model that is based on 100%. I mean, a 100% publicly funded. And it's our time, this is our chance to render them irrelevant. The mega corporations, the military industrial complex, you know, the billionaires dynasty. And it will be about us, the people. That's the kind of media model I have been searching for. There are thousands of fantastic independent bloggers out there. They are doing great jobs individually, but they are limited. Mm-hmm. They are limited. They have to pay the rent. They have to eat. Okay, they have families, so they have daytime jobs. So what they do is they do this in their spare time, and they are, some of them are doing great jobs, trying to be citizen journalists. They can't have the IT system. They can't have all the other supports. They can't have fact-checking mechanism for news stories. How are you going to authenticate documents, let's say, you find to find out this document? So they are totally limited by their sources. So why, and resources, why don't we have the best of the both worlds? The resources of the 1%, 0.1%, and also the passion, the loyalty to the people, agenda-free, people-funded only, with people's interest, media organization, nonpartisan, and say, we are able to render you irrelevant. So with that notion, with that objective, newsbud.com was born. And for the past 2.5 months, all of us have been working very hard to put the needed elements in place to redefine and define and assess the platform. What do we want to present? Through who? You know, and we have a fantastic team. We have multiple generations. We have seasoned journalists, such as, here he is, my hero, Pepe Escobar. 30 plus years of solid experience, seasoned journalists. But for me, that's not it. There are many journalists out there with years of experience. Pepe Escobar, for me, he's a person, a journalist who brings integrity into the media. You don't see agenda with, and you can go and look at his track record. He has 30 years of track record. To me, that's what I want to see with our organization. We have journalist Bill Conroy. Bill Conroy has been reporting for 30 plus years, and he has an unmatched track record. Bill Conroy and Gary Webb, they work together. He has been the only brave investigative, seasoned investigative journalist who have dared and stuck with reporting a lot of issues about the drug wars, about the domestic issues, the corruptions with DEA, And again, his track record speaks for itself, and he's someone that I respect tremendously. We have you, Peter. I mean, you know, I have said it so many times. Again, I have been a huge fan of yours since 2003. And again, you have this unblemished, solid track record. We have other young producers who have been savvy in you know, preparing and producing investigative video series on YouTube. They have the technological capabilities. We have multiple award-winning editorial cartoonists. We're going to have experts with specific expertise on various areas, both nationally but geopolitically. We have Professor Kovacevic, and his specialty is the Balkans and Russia, and he speaks four or five languages, and he teaches within this field. We have other analysts who have been producing unbelievable, incredible reports on military-industrial complex issues here in this country. We have a fantastic team, and in the next few days, we're going to be releasing more information about our people, about our model, what we are doing, why we are doing, and why we need them, why we want all of us to come together, we the people, and for the first time, make them irrelevant. And this is an opportunity to do just that. And people, there's this learned helplessness. They think it's hopeless. They think it's helpless. They think, you know, the common phrase is, it is the way it is. It's horrible, but it is the way it is. It doesn't have to be the way it is. And we are looking at hundreds of millions of people. You're looking at dozens of scumbags out there. I mean, we have to get out of that mindset that says we are helpless. They are controlling us. They are pushing their agenda, and we can't do anything about it. They have their billions. Well, we have the number, and we have our collective resources, and yes, we can do it. And I'm going to stop right here.
And Sibel, I want to take a moment here to praise some of the reporting that you've done in the past year. The Dennis Hastert case, the disgraced Republican Speaker of the House, who has been indicted and now taken a plea deal that barely scratches the surface of his long history of corruption and sexual proclivities, shall we say. And the Chicago Tribune didn't break that story. The Chicago Sun-Times didn't touch it. The television stations in Chicago, which are owned by all the major networks, were busy feeding their viewers Kardashian updates. But you really got well below the surface, and you assembled in one place at boilingfrogspost.com, and it's still there if people haven't seen it, right on the homepage, the details of the history of corruption with Turkish interests, also his being compromised by not only being caught on videotape in sexual activities with men at his condo in Washington by American intelligence, but also by foreign intelligence, by Turkish agents. And so the corporate media in this country has not bothered to uncover that information, or if they have, they have been prevented or persuaded not to publish it. And this, to me, is a shining example of the fearless, independent kind of reporting and journalism that we plan to bring to NewsBud, and that I think is critical for a functioning American society.
No, absolutely. You're right, Peter. Nobody reported on this, and it was mind-boggling. And one of the most interesting aspects of this was the silence, the censorship, the blackout was nonpartisan. I mean, you would think this guy, real Republican, that he represents himself as the conservative Republican, with this kind of scandal, and you know how they love sex scandals here, you know, here and abroad. I don't know why people are so obsessed with everything is about sex. But it had all the sexual elements. You're looking at a pedophile, okay? You're looking at this former Speaker of the House who's been committing treason for all these years, and there has been confirmed reports out there. Mm-hmm. And yet, we didn't hear a single statement, any coverage from the other party either. You would think, how could they have this unanimous stand because this dirt, this crap, touches both parties. It is really, there is no such a thing as left or right parity when it comes to reality. There is the vested interest, as I said, 0.001%, and there's the rest of the people, is us. And with these people, they know how the crap touches both sides. And the unanimous agreement is, we are not going to provide coverage for this. And that exactly was that last, I guess that last strain, that catalyst, and we did our roundtable on this. And a lot of people in their comment section, on the social media, Boiling Frogs Post, they were saying, let's contact Washington Post, let's contact New York Times, and let's beg them to cover this. I it's nauseating. I don't want to go and beg them. I want to make them irrelevant. Because we have been trying, haven't we? Haven't we, including with the state secrets privilege cases, with NSA, with all these cases for years, especially since 9/11, we've been begging, we've been sending letters to the editors with mainstream media, New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune. We've been begging them to cover us. You know what? And that's enough.
Sabelle, that is enough. Sabelle, just recently, in December of 2015, it was revealed that the NSA monitored conversations between Israeli officials and members of the U.S. Congress, and even approached the level of bribery in trying to persuade them to scuttle American approval of the six-nation deal with Iran. And what I find interesting is that now we're seeing that these elected officials are saying, what? You wiretapped me? But you and I interviewed Russell Tice 3.5 years ago when he revealed that when he was at the NSA, he was a witness to the installation of wiretaps on major members of the Intelligence Committee in the Senate, many members of Congress, sitting and appointees for the Supreme Court. And so we have revealed this, and I have tried every way I could to get the corporate media to pick up that story, to get members of Congress to launch investigations, and it goes nowhere. So, Pepe, let me turn to you, because as you well know, I have deep respect for your experience and your knowledge, but also your offshore perspective. So with that in mind, tell us how you view and how others outside the United States view the corporate media in this country and the extent to which it has been defanged by politicians and the government and turned into much more of a stenographic service than any kind of a journalistic enterprise.
Yeah, in the English-speaking world, people who don't rely on mainstream media, they go to independent alternative American websites, especially, they know what's going on. But I would say in South America, across the Middle East, not to mention China, of course, it's a world apart because very few people speak English. Parts of Southeast Asia, this is still a minority. The thing is, as people start to understand that what they read in their local papers in all these individual countries that is reproduced straight from the New York Times, the Washington Post, not to mention Reuters or AP, it's not what's really going on in the world anymore. Because for a few years now, they can compare with these small websites and the websites in their own countries that translate many of the pieces that appear in American websites, in English in American websites. Boiling Frogs Post, for instance, our ex-Asia Times that doesn't exist anymore, Counterpunch, you name it. You see translations in Portuguese, in Italian, in French, in Spanish, in Urdu, in Kazakh, and it's fascinating. And it opened these past few years an enormous window for people who only got their information from mainstream media or from those translated Reuters and AP dispatches. So this is what it's fascinating all over the world. China, it's different. China, we would need hours to talk about how do they get their information. Usually, for instance, young Chinese, they get it from Taiwanese websites or from Hong Kong websites, and they need a VPN to go through it. And there has been a VPN block in China in this past few months as well. Last time I was there, which was a year ago, I could still roam around in a VPN. My server was in California, for instance. And then I could have the whole media. Nowadays, my friends in Beijing tell me it's very hard. Even these VPNs are under surveillance. So you need to actually go to Hong Kong or have a Hong Kong account to get information in English. And young Chinese, they do that, even if their English is rudimentary. Russia, for instance, is good. Russia, not only Russian, but in English. They have multiple outlets, starting with RT itself. In the Arab world, it's extremely complicated. And that's for me, this is the crux of the problem. Just to give an example, the son of King Salman in Saudi Arabia, Prince Mohammed, the guy who's destroying Yemen, he is the number two in the line of succession, and he's the Minister of Defense. He just bought Al Arabiya. Al Arabiya happens to be the number one Arab-controlled, English-language Arab-controlled TV network in the Middle East, apart from Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is Qatari foreign policy, as we all know. Al Arabiya is the House of Saud. The previous owners were members of the House of Saud. Now the new owner is the son of the ruling king. And so this gives you an idea of how independent our Arab media is. So how do, let's say, a young Jordanian or a young Saudi Arabian, a young Emirati get his sources of information? There are no alternative sources of information for these people. Even though some of them are well-traveled, they do East and West, or at least they do Dubai, London, you know. But they still are, you know, their window of awareness, let's put it this way, is very restricted. So assuming we can not only enlighten American readers with this absolutely fantastic project by Sibel, which I'm very pleased and honored to be associated with, not to mention with you, Peter, as well, we can also reach an international audience. I'm very much thinking in terms of news broad, not only going to North America, but reaching to South America, being translated by independent outlets all across South America, especially in Brazil and Argentina, the top two countries. So this means we should be out in Brazilian Portuguese and in Spanish as well. And I'm sure we will within a few weeks from the start. In the Middle East, no problem, because we're going to be there in English anyway. In Iran, I'm sure we're going to be translated into Farsi because our outlook is not the Al Arabiya Prince mm-hmm. Mohammed outlook of foreign policy. Mm-hmm. In Russia, obviously, because we will have, of course, a critical discourse about Russia as well that we don't necessarily find on RT, for instance, or Sputnik. Right. And I can say that because I write for both. Why do I write for both? Because in terms of media integrity, the way they deal with professional journalists is exemplary. Just to give you an extra example, I used to write for Al Jazeera English before. They invited me to write op-eds. At first, everything went very, very well. Then one day, they rejected a piece that I wrote about Bibi Netanyahu. Okay, this was a first. Let's wait for the next step. The next step was even more radical because there entire foreign policy was aligned to destroying Libya, destroying Syria, and destroying the Middle East, for that matter. So obviously, my relationship with Al Jazeera ended. With RT and Sputnik, even if I'm critical of some policies by the Kremlin especially, I was never censored. I have freedom of movement and freedom to write about absolutely everything. With Sputnik, the same thing. So obviously, there may be some gray areas where it will be slightly difficult to penetrate. And I'm sure at NewsBud we will have the possibility to do it. And that will bring us readers in Russia as well. And Asia, of course, if we're going to do the way I consider the big, big story of the 21st century, which is the integration of Eurasia, we can have a NewsBud American integrated with the West, integrated with Asia point of view of the whole thing, mm-hmm. which nobody is having at the moment. And we could start it from scratch. And, you know, in terms of Cibo, in terms of providing the platform for this, this is absolutely invaluable.
Pepe, your mention of being censored by Al Jazeera over a column about Benjamin Netanyahu strikes a fresh nerve with me, because as we're speaking here in the first full week of January, the public television network PBS and its much-promoted documentary series Frontline presented a two-hour special about Benjamin Netanyahu. And it was really, you know, emblematic of the kind of investigative reporting that we get in the U.S. today. And I describe it as a mile wide, but only 1 inch deep. And so it brought us some interesting insights about Netanyahu and how he throws temper tantrums and tries to intimidate people into going along with his point of view. But in the entire discussion of his efforts to scuttle the nuclear deal with Iran, there was never one mention that Israel has nuclear weapons.
Of course not. And this is number one foreign policy tenet of Israel. Never admit that we are a nuclear power.
Right. And of course, they're permitted to denounce Iran, even though, you know, we know from Gareth Porter and others that Iran wasn't really pursuing a nuclear weapon. But if you assume the meme that they were, well, one reason would be because Israel has it. And that is never discussed. And it's that type of missing context that represents the self-censorship of American journalists today. And Sibel, these are the things that I'm most excited about taking on at NewsBud.
Absolutely. And Sibel, that's the great thing. You're going to be the antidote to Wall Street Journal, Fox News, New York Times, Washington Post. Your idea in itself is the antidote. So I'm sure they will be extremely worried if we are very successful from the start, which we will, of course.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Pepe. As far as they are concerned, they are our odds, and they are going to do everything in their power to prevent this from happening or to sabotage it. Absolutely. It similar things happened when I was forming National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. There were people who tried to infiltrate our organization. Okay. Then there were people who actually came and dangled money to say, you know, I'm such and such foundation's representative, and you can do so much with these resources, but we want you to do this in return, which we had to say no. So all those we are going to face, and at least all of us, we are experienced. And I have been doing this for 15 years. So we are not spring chicken.
Exactly.
When it comes to dealing with this, we're going to make it difficult. But the same has to go for the public, for the people, because they are going to come and try to put, you know, try to spin, try to basically form perceptions. And I think many people by now, they have realized, usually people have good nose for things like that. Another thing I want to mention before I forget, because Pepe brought up a very, very important point about a multilingual site. It's very interesting because when I was meeting with this group who are going to do our web development, they said, are you considering multi-platform, not only in terms of mobile application, etc., but also to have multiple language for this news organization? Of course, we're going to need the resources. That means the cost is going to be four or five times more. But I said,
you need an army of translators, Nancy Bell.
Absolutely. And because I worked as an interpreter, you know, I have been working as a translator. I know not only you need translators, but you need to double check, triple check translation to ensure the integrity of translation, because you know how it is, how you speak four or five languages, Pepe. I mean,
and we have to account for cultural, you know,
absolutely,
misunderstandings, especially.
Absolutely. And we have been, for example, for Boiling Frogs Post, every month we get one or two wonderful, kind volunteers who send an email and say, I would love to do translation of your site and your content into, let's say, Chinese or Spanish, etc. The reason so far we haven't done it has been lack of resources because, well, how am I supposed to know how good that translation is? Because it's the matter of integrity of my producer, our authors, our analysts. So I want to make sure we do it professionally. I want to do it for all of us with integrity. And I keep going back to the word integrity. Professional journalistic skills, you know, they are out there. Maybe rare, but they are out there. There are so many people who are good journalists skill-wise. But, you know, like I was saying, being a big fan of Peter, to have that professional track record, but married with track record that is unblemished with integrity, that matters. This is why it's our tagline. It's NewsBud, where media integrity matters. And when I say matters, matters. And when we make this successful, pay attention, I'm not saying if, I'm saying when we make this successful, the same thing is going to apply to so many other things, not only the media. When I say they have made us, we the people, irrelevant, it's with the media. Same thing with the Congress. Look at the laws, legislations are being passed. I mean, you look at these legislations, they are passing, people are irrelevant in them. Whether it's our liberties in terms of First Amendment rights, whether it's our Fourth Amendment rights, whether it's our welfare in terms of the economy and our financial welfare, they have rendered us irrelevant. In fact, I have a master's degree in public policy. I had a 4.0 GPA. But if you try to go, even with these degrees, try to read the legislations, you won't understand. Peter, you won't understand. I don't understand. I used to, when I had my National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, go to several experts, have them interpret it for us, because you go to those footnotes. So even that is by design. Look at the Bill of Rights, okay? Any average American can sit down there and read it. They had people in mind when they wrote that. But look at the legislation and the laws today. Even if you want to go and buy a house, you have to go have an attorney with you because you can't read the contract. What the heck is this? I mean, you read those sentences, you're like, what is it saying? I'm going to put my signature at the bottom. Again, it goes to the same basic fact, because we the people are irrelevant to these people. We are going to make ourselves relevant and we are going to make them irrelevant. And that's going to be my slogan, and we will be talking about this more and more. But I'm glad you brought up the translation points. Extremely important. Yes, that is within our objectives and goals.
And for our viewers, we're not trying to tease you. We're going to present a series of these roundtable podcasts over the next few weeks. And on Valentine's Day is when we're going to launch our Kickstarter campaign. So we'll be bringing you more details as we get closer. But I want you to mark that date on your calendar and be prepared to fan out, connect up with all of your friends and your contacts, and help us spread the word about this exciting new adventure in media called NewsBud. And before we wrap up, I want to mention that just before the holidays, Pepe alerted us that he has published a new book, and it's called 2030. And it is a beautiful piece of writing dedicated to his grandson, who was born last year. And in it, one of the things that struck me, among many, Pepe, was a reference to a song by the rock band Steppenwolf. And it's called Monster. And I want to pause for a second and play a little bit of that song and then talk about why it connects with you and me some 40 years after John Kay wrote it.
She just patiently smiled.
So that's a little bit of the rock song called Monster. I like the guitar work, but the lyrics are especially powerful, Pepe. John Kay sings, "The spirit was freedom of justice. Its keepers seemed friendly and kind. Its leaders were supposed to serve the country. But now they won't pay it no mind. Now their vote is like a meaningless joke. You know, they talk about law and order, but it's all just an echo of what they've been told. 'Cause there's a monster on the loose. It's got our heads into a noose, and it just sits there watching." Well, we want to take on that monster, and we want to assert and activate people that, as Sabel pointed out, we don't have to have this kind of learned passivity where we simply say, "Oh, the monster's tapping my phone and reading my email, and there's nothing I can do about it." Well, I, for one, refuse to go quietly. I will not be silent, and I'm not going to accept this. And this song is kind of an anthem that really speaks to that.
Well, since the late 60s, now, when I first heard it, I think I was 15 or so. Imagine the impact of a song like this on a 15-year-old. It was one of my favorite bands. I had all their albums, but this particular album, which is it was a concept album,
right,
and Monster was the pillar of the whole concept, in fact. And over the years, I kept listening to it. Then I got it when I had it on CD. I used to play it in my car for many years.
Yeah.
Then I used to play it on my Walkman. Then I took it with me all over the world, and it's still relevant. And now it's even more relevant because it's a song about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Starts with the Founding Fathers and arrives at the Koch and Sheldon Adelson controlled billionaire elections.
Mm-hmm.
It's more relevant than ever, and it will continue to be extremely relevant. And this came from a time when pop culture defined our universe and explained our universe in 3-minute, 4-minute pop songs. Obviously, we don't have this anymore. Pop culture nowadays is totally fragmented, and it's a big business that means essentially nothing. And at the time, all of us were lucky enough to grow up in those times. We still carry that with us.
Yeah.
In fact, the guys who invented our Facebook and Google world nowadays, their forefathers, or Steve Jobs himself, they're children of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They learned that cosmology, that we have the best of all worlds inside us, and we can spread it out all over, which is a very hippie style cosmology, but not exactly. It's much more than that. It's a kind of new humanism, a humanism of the 20th century, 21st century. We can try to do this news, but we'll incorporate this vision of the world, which is, I would say, it's a new humanism for the 21st century. So we have to be ambitious. We have to, like Sibel said, we have to be extremely ambitious, not only with our taglines and our slogans, but trying to show, especially the antagonists, that we are better.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a better vision than them.
Yeah.
In fact, we do have a vision, and they have nothing.
And Sibel, do you want to add anything? I don't know if you ever heard Monster before we played it for you today.
No, that was the first time. Even though I'm a big buff of the 60s and late 50s and 60s music, it's awesome. It's great. How appropriate and how timeless. He's absolutely right, Pepe. I want to repeat what Pepe said. He's absolutely right. In fact, I have been hearing this response, not in a positive way that Pepe put it, but in a negative way, from people associated with the 0.001%. And it's like, wow, that is either impossible or awfully ambitious. And when you leave it up to people, they're not going to support it. Why do you think all these different, even the ones who were conceptualized as alternative media, they have to switch and put the advertisement platform in there, go and beg from the Koch brothers, beg from the sources, because they could not sustain, because people don't support. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the talk, and they don't walk the walk. And I said, yes, it's ambitious, and it's definitely not impossible, because I disagree. I disagree with this characterization of the people. I still have faith in the people, and I believe we are going to prove them wrong. And with all these, in the next 3-4 weeks until Valentine's Day, when we launch our campaign, Kickstarter crowdfunding, we are going to have videos, podcasts, commentaries, articles on this very topic. We're going to talk about more about the organization, but we are also going to present with every show the link to our email opt-in program. We keep everything private. I hate things like cookies. I don't like advertisers. I don't like selling and handing out people's emails. These are private. They're going to remain private. People who are interested in this project, which I know many of you are, people who want to support this one way or another, whether financially or by translation or by just simply helping us put the word out there, all you have to do is sign in your name, last name, and your email address, and you submit it. So we'll keep you up to date. We'll keep you posted about our campaign, where we are, and together we can do it. And we have had many sessions with our roundtables, with Peter, with James Corbett, on learned helplessness. And we have been talking about, well, we always talk about theories, when we're going to apply it, when we're going to do something in action. Well, here, this is that, all that talk that we've been having for the past couple of years being translated into action. It's us, and without you, it is impossible. So it's going to be people's choice. Are we going to remain irrelevant, or are we going to go make ourselves the only relevant factor party when it comes to all these issues that we have been talking about? And thank you.
So we used to say stay tuned, and I'll update that to say stay connected. Here at BoilingFrogsPost.com, PeterBCollins.com, the other outlets, there will be more coming in the next few weeks. And as we mentioned, February 14th, Valentine's Day, is when we'll kick off our funding drive to make NewsBud a reality in 2016. Sibel Edmonds, Pepe Escobar, thanks for being with me today. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Thank you.